Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We have come before you today asking for more, Lord. More of you. More of your power. And more of your presence. We ask that no one of us will live here the same without experiencing and encountering more of you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Someone say loud amen. Bring you greetings from Kingston, Jamaica, and also greetings from Houston, United States of America. I believe that the earth is being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Somebody excited, say amen. Say a louder amen. This morning, I'm going to look very sharply at the blessedness of prayer. In this month of prayer, just like we did in the month of praise and worship, we will do the principles and then do the practice. We will do the theory and do the practical. This morning is also the blessing Sunday for the month of July. This is the first Sunday of the seventh month, the first Sunday of the third quarter, and the first Sunday of the second half of the year. Give the Lord the praise. We believe for very drastic visitation. And I'm speaking on the subject, the blessedness of prayer. The blessedness of prayer. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and in verse 9, all the way to verse 12, we saw the man by the name Jabez, who the Bible said was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Verse 10, Jabez called on the name of the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Jabez was making demands on God for the blessing at the place of prayer. Our objective this morning is to understand the blessedness, understand how prayer blesses people, and number two, to understand keys to experiencing the blessedness of prayer. How does prayer bless people, and what are the keys to the blessedness of prayer? Bible makes it clear that the lifestyle of prayer is a major channel, a major pathway to the blessing of God. A major pathway, a major channel to the blessing of God. In scriptures, men and women who walked in the blessing of God, a couple of them were men and women who lived the life of prayer. Men and women who lived the life of prayer were men and women who walked in the blessing of God. Example number one, you see this example of Abraham. Abraham was the man who had a personal prayer walk with God. In Genesis chapter 19 verse 27, you saw the personal prayer walk of Abraham with God, where Abraham will get up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. In Genesis chapter 18, we saw the intercessory life of Abraham, where he interceded for the preservation of Sodom and Gomorrah from destruction. He was not just a person who prayed personal prayers. He was a person who was an intercessor. In Genesis 18 and in verse 23, all the way to verse 26, where Abraham drew near to God and was telling him, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from thee. I'm sure the person on the console is awake. And Abraham drew near, verse 24, now, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city,
Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the whole earth, of all the earth, do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place. Abraham was a person who prayed personal prayers. Abraham was also a person who prayed intercessory prayers. And Abraham, like you know, is the symbol of the blessing in scripture. Second example is the example of Jabez that we read just now. Jabez was someone who prayed down the blessing of God upon his life against all odds. Like you know the story of Jabez, he was born in sorrow. His life was marked with negativity. But Jabez made up his mind that at the altar of prayer, he must also become a blessed person, a symbol of the blessing. And that blessing landed upon him. In the name of Jesus this morning, I don't know the kind of negative experience or story you have had in life. I decree today, the blessing of God shall be your portion today. In the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. Now, how does prayer affect the blessing of a life, or affect the blessing of a life? How does prayer bring about the blessing? I'm going to look at seven things. I'm taking the two in the same, the one in the two services. Number one, prayer positions God's people in the presence of God. And the presence of God gives us access to the fullness of joy and pleasures. Again, prayer positions God's people. Prayer positions us in the presence of God. And the presence of God gives us access to pleasures and the fullness of joy, or the fullness of joy and pleasures. In 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, Elijah, who was a preeminent man of prayer, said, before God whom I stand. A stand before God is the position of prayer. It positions us in the presence of God. And in that presence, there are pleasures and fullness of joy. According to Psalm 16 and in verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the man who prays is a man positioned in the presence of God. And the man positioned in the presence of God is the man positioned in the realm of pleasures, is the man positioned in the realm of joy. Number two, prayer envelops our lives with the fragrance of divine favor. It envelops our lives with the fragrance of divine favor. So people who are known as people of prayer also move with a strange dimension of favor. You look at Esther. In Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Esther was the woman of prayer. As a woman of prayer, he was also the woman of favor. In Esther chapter 2 and in verse 15, he said, go gather together the women for me, and I'm going to go to the king, which is after the custom, and if I perish, I perish. And that Esther, in Esther chapter 2 verse 15, was the woman of favor. I'd like you to know that Esther did not suddenly talk about prayer and fasting. That was her lifestyle. That was how she lived. If something is not your lifestyle or your practice, you cannot do those things in times of urgency. That was her lifestyle. And she lived in the realm of favor. And you know that favor will bring additions to your life. In Acts chapter 2 verse 47, they were praising God and having favor. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So prayer envelops us, the saints, with the fragrance of favor. And that fragrance of favor pulls additions into our lives. Number three, prayer breaks evil and satanic spells of limitations.
and curses over lives, over our lives. Prayer breaks evil and satanic spells of limitation or curses over our lives, enforcing the blessing. It breaks evil or satanic spells of limitations or curses over our lives, enforcing the blessing. That was how Jabez forced the blessing over his life. The Bible said he was born in sorrow. They called him sorrow. That was a spell. That was a limitation. That was a curse. But at the place of prayer, Jabez broke that spell. He broke that curse. He broke that limitation. Until he stepped into the blessing. This morning, whatever can be called a spell, whatever can be called a limitation, whatever can be called a curse over your life that is preventing the blessing of God, I announce today, the curse shall be broken. The spell shall be broken. You believe that? Shout the loudest, say amen. Hallelujah. Number four, prayer brings about an enlargement of lives, of our lives and capacities. Enlargement. You bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. It brings enlargement. Prayer eliminates narrowness of life. It eliminates narrowness of life. It brings about enlargement of our life's capacities. That is where the enemy wanted your life to be narrow. Prayer breaks the narrowness. Today, whatever makes any life narrow, I declare it is broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number five, prayer connects the child of God to divine or supernatural supplies. It connects us to divine or supernatural supplies. When Jesus taught them to pray, in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread is the portion of those who understand the altar of prayer. At the altar of prayer, your supply is enforceable. Enforceable. Give us this day our daily bread. That is the covenant being a constant. The covenant of supernatural supply being a constant. That is, what we are saying is you cannot be guaranteed the bread, the supply. You don't understand the tithe. You don't understand the giving. You can't be guaranteed that. You know, in economics, when they say all things being equal, when all the things that needs to be done are done, the place of, I mean, that is, you have done what you need to do, and the devil is holding what is yours. At the altar of prayer, you force the devil's hands to release what is yours. Somebody say a loud amen. I pray for somebody here today. In the name of Jesus, whatever is yours that the enemy is keeping from you, I declare them released right now. I declare them released right now. I declare them released right now. You believe that? Say that, amen. You believe that? Shout the Lord must say amen. Prayer connects the child of God to divine or supernatural supplies. Number six. Prayer avails us of divine guidance unto abundance and supplies.
The life of prayer will give you the guidance that will lead you to where your supplies are. Avail source of divine guidance unto abundance and supplies. Especially the prayer of inquiry. Lord, where is my supply? Lord, where should I invest? Where should I put my money? That's the blessedness of prayer. The blessedness of prayer. In 2 Kings chapter 3, when the army of Judah needed supplies, there was the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15 to verse 17. But now he said, bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. It was an inquiry moment. Lord, let this army not perish. Let these people not perish. And while that inquiry was on, and the minstrel played, the supplies was released. Somebody say aloud, amen. Before this month is over, God will show you where to direct your energy. Somebody say louder, amen. Before this month is over, God will show you where to direct your resources. Before this month is over, God will show you where to direct your finances. Before this month is over, God will show you somebody the place of your investment. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Finally, number 7, prayer releases divine influence on human effort. Divine influence yielding drastic results. Divine influence. You are walking, but prayer makes God to breathe on your walk. Prayer makes God to amplify your effort. Prayer makes God to help you not to labor in vain. It makes God to help your labor to produce what results you can see. Hannah had been to Shiloh regularly every year. But one day she prayed until the scripture recorded the prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. Lord, I have been around here all this while. I cannot just keep coming like that. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid. You know the story. It was a prayer that was tied with a vow. And even though she had had relationship with her husband before, on this particular occasion, the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. Verse 18 and 19. And she brought forth Samuel. That is what prayer does. A man, a woman of prayer can expect God to breathe on his effort. Your business effort, your career effort, your academic effort, and all the effort you put forth. You can expect God to breathe on your effort at the place of the altar of prayer. That is the blessedness of prayer. Somebody say aloud, amen. In this month, you shall not labor in vain. Your effort shall not be in vain. And so first of all, we said that prayer positions God's people in the presence of God, and the presence of God gives us access to the fullness of joy. Secondly, we say that prayer envelops our lives with the fragrance of divine favor, and the fragrance of favor pulls additions into our lives. Thirdly, prayer breaks evil and satanic spells of limitations or curses over our lives, enforcing the blessing. Fourth, prayer brings about enlargement of our lives and capacities. It eliminates narrowness of life. And five,
But prayer connects the child of God to divine or supernatural supplies. And then prayer avails us of divine guidance unto abundant supplies, especially the prayer of inquiry. Number 7, prayer releases divine influence on human effort, yielding drastic results. Somebody say a loud amen. What are the keys to experiencing the blessedness of prayer? Keys to experiencing the blessedness of praying. Number 1, pray with faith and conviction. You want the blessedness of praying to be real. Pray with faith. Don't pray guessing. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Pray with faith and conviction. I am not wasting my time. I am not guessing. This prayer must be answered. And number 2, pray with desperation and passion. Like they say in Nigeria, pray like tomorrow, no day. With desperation and passion. The same way that Jacob prayed when he wrestled with the Lord. 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 He wrestled. Genesis 32, verse 24 to 28. Desperation. I will not let you go until something changes in my life. He prayed, and he didn't let him go. If you are ready to pray like that, no devil can stop the blessing in your life. Somebody say a loud amen. There is a very, very important note that I want to give before I close this morning. After all is said and done, that's note. The blessing of God travels in the direction of those who are willing to be blessings to their generation. After all is said and done, the blessing of God is the preserve of people who are willing to be blessings to their generation. Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 2. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Let nobody go and say, oh Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. And the Lord said, bless you to do what? Bless you to do what with the blessing? What is your desire in terms of winning of souls? When God gives you enough money, to what extent will heaven be populated because you got money? Last week, Saturday, I went to dedicate a church in a place called Peace City, in Abuja here, built by a member of this church, single-handedly. Maybe the picture's on the screen. And he came to share his story. He said, he told God, give me money. I want to build churches. I want to do things for God. He said, since he started that effort, his life has not recovered. He said, he cannot even recount the blessings that is happening to his life. What will you do? To what extent will the kingdom of heaven and the world of men feel the blessing of God on your life? How many souls will be won? How will heaven be populated? How will the kingdom of God on the earth be impacted? How many widows will be affected? How many orphans will be affected?
How many less privileged people will be affected?
Somebody sent me a message yesterday through my spear. He said, I am in India and I'm about to die there. Please don't let me die there. So I thought I was going to find a solution there, but no, nothing. He said he has nowhere to go, nobody to even go to. Is even food to eat there he doesn't have. But at least help me to return back home, transport back home. So I said, find out. Let's find out. Did you let our embassy and all that? Our man there, let them find out who he is. And if the story is true, we'll ferry him back home. I don't know him from anywhere. But nobody can make an appeal like that and be turned down. Do you understand what I'm talking about? People are looking for the blessing, but they are not willing to be blessed. Some people look at us and say, oh, these people are enjoying their lives. Until you are ready to do the kind of things we are doing. We finished from America yesterday night, which is this morning, your Saturday morning, your time. By the time we're boarding the flight to start coming to Nigeria, it was already 7 a.m. Saturday. That's yesterday. It was 7 a.m. Nigerian time. We landed and arrived to the church here by 1 a.m. to this altar this Saturday. No, we landed by 12, about 12:30. 12:30. Then came to church by 1. Slept about 3 or 4. And we are here. That is how to enjoy your life, isn't it? Somebody is enjoying his life traveling all around the world. No. And when you see God do things and bless and people do, some are just bitter and angry until you are able to pay the price. You are not ready to see the rise. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Please, having said all and done all, ensure that your strongest passion in life will be how to be a blessing to God's kingdom. How will you be a blessing to the world of men whose life will be touched because God touched you? Because God changed your life. It's a new day.